you got a flat tire.
Yes, I picked up a jet attack.
Or I may have a pump.
Oh, if you have, I'd like to blow up the tire. Might at least get me home.
Well, have you far to go?
Red Hill Farm, nearly 3 miles.
Oh, too far to walk. I remember. Now, I lent it to that young nephew of mine on Sunday. I am sorry.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's kind of you to stop.
Look, I tell you what. I'll turn around and run you home. At least I can do.
No, really?
Oh, no trouble. And your bicycle can go in the back. I'll have you home in 2 ticks.
Predator.
What's your name?
Lavinia Lane. Vinny to my friend.
Well, then I'll call you Vinny, honey. And you can call me Bill.
You sure I'm not being a nuisance?
Not at all. Very pleasant little interlude.
You're a good-looking girl, Vinnie.
Thank you.
Nice legs.
Did you live around here?
What makes you think I do?
I thought I might have seen you before.
Oh, possibly. I've driven past your school once or twice. You look very striking in that dark red jumpsuit.
You mean you've noticed me?
Who wouldn't? How old are you, Vinnie?
I'll be 16 in October.
Sweet 16, eh? Boyfriend?
Sort of. Nothing serious.
What's his name?
Teddy Wilmore.
A fair-haired chap with a bright red motorbike?
My rival.
Who?
The bike. The two are inseparable. Where are you going?
I just remembered. I promised to pick up something. It won't take a moment.
Oh, but you won't.
Oh, don't be alarmed.
Oh, put me down, please. I want to get out.
That door can only be opened to the outside. I fixed it that way.
You fixed it? You're a horrible man.
Shut up,
I want to go home, please.
If you don't stop screaming, I'll give you a taste of this. That's better.
Please,
give me a kiss, Vinny.
You promised not to do anything.
Kiss,
let me go. Please.
You're 16 years old, and you haven't lived yet, Vinny. 16 years old, and your life, left of it, is in my hands.
Redbrook Police Station. Sergeant Parker speaking.
Warren Lane here, Sergeant, of Red Hill Farm.
What can I do for you, Mr. Lane?
My daughter, Vinnie, she hasn't come home from school yet. I've been out looking for her.
Oh, well, sir, nothing to worry about. Surely it's not yet 7 o'clock.
She left school at 3:30, still in her netball clothes, and should have been home soon after 4.
Visiting one of her friends, I'd say.
My wife's telephoned everybody we can think of, and I've been driving around for the past 2 hours asking questions, but nobody's seen her since she turned into Red Hill Road on her bicycle.
You've established that much, sir, that she turned off the main road at your turning?
The bus driver saw her.
There's a lonely stretch between your place and Government Wood.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's where I used to court the missus, down there by the stream.
Vinnie is not yet 16, Sergeant, and she's not courting anybody.
Didn't I see her on the pillion of young Will Moore's bike on Sunday evening?
She was there without my permission. I told her she was to have nothing to do with that young hooligan.
Oh, he's not too bad, sir. No worse than we were at his age, I warrant.
Speak for yourself, Sergeant. And before you ask, I've already been to see Mrs. Wilmore.
Was Teddy there?
He came back just as I was leaving. Saw he'd seen nothing of Vinnie.
Where'd he been, did he say?
Swimming over at Kinkup Meadows.
Did he have a towel and trunks with him?
Neither. That long, greasy hair of his was all wet.
That's a nightcrawler. Who's that, I wonder?
Maybe Barbara.
Oh,
Why, good evening, Sergeant.
Evening, Mrs. Pike. Husband at home?
Just finishing his coffee. Come in.
We won't, if you don't mind. I just want a word with him.
Oh, yes, sir. Morris, it's the police. They want to see you.
Coming. Oh, hi there, Sergeant.
Evening, Mr. Pike. Do you know Mr. Lane of Red Hill Farm?
Oh, I don't think we've met Mr. Lane. How do you do?
Worried sick, if you must know, Mr. Pike. My daughter Vinnie turned into Red Hill Road this afternoon on her way home from school, and she hasn't been seen since.
Oh, no. I'm very sorry to hear that. How old is she?
Nearly 16, but looks older.
You're our last hope, Mr. Pike. We've asked everybody else living in this area, but no one's seen her. Did you, by any chance?
Well, I saw a blonde girl in a red gym slip walking along the main road.
Vinnie's hair is my colour, dark brown, and she was wearing her netball kit, short blue skirt and white blouse.
Ah, then I didn't see her. Suppose some motorist picked her up.
What about her bicycle?
Oh, was she on a bicycle? I didn't realize that. I suppose she had an accident, was knocked off, and a driver took her to hospital.
Well, we've telephoned Brampton Cottage and Woodford General.
Look here, Sergeant, we're grown men, the three of us. And you go back inside.
Oh, very well.
What do you suspect? Trouble?
I'm just praying otherwise, but it could be that some sex...
No, don't upset yourself, Mr. Lane.
But suppose Mr. Lane's right, Sergeant. And what are we doing? Just nattering here on the doorstep when we should be searching every ditch along Red Hill Road. Yes, and Government Wood into the bargain.
Not a thing, sir. My two constables have covered every inch of the road on their bicycles, searching every ditch and going into every field where there was a gate. Arthur's back there now, Kirsten. He picked up a tin tack in his front tire. You've got a dog in your car, Mr. Lane.
Vinny's terrier, Patch. I brought him along, just in case.
Yes, he might come in useful. Found anything, Mr. Pike?
Well, I found a cycle hidden in the bushes at the edge of Government Wood.
Oh.
A red motorcycle.
Well, that'll be Ted Wilmore's. Means he must be somewhere around.
Well, I think we should search the wood. It's not very dense, and there's a moon to help us.
We'll try, but we won't be able to go through it properly until daylight. What's young Wilmore doing out here, I wonder?
Whatever he was doing, presumably he's done it. Aren't you going to go after him,
though? Not much point in that, Mr. Pike. We can always pick him up when we want him, if we want him. Meanwhile, let's search the wood, as you suggest. I think we're wasting our time. She could even be back home by now, Mr. Lane.
I doubt it, Sergeant.
Look at Patch. Shivering.
Frightened by the
way. Oh, something is upsetting him, Mr. Lane. Let's go forward a bit.
He won't budge, Sergeant.
I think it's something in those bushes that's frightening him.
Just you stay where you are, Mr. Lane. Mr. Pike and I will investigate.
Why, Angie? We're expecting somebody else.
Oh, I've been worried sick. It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I've been playing the part of a good, responsible citizen and helping the police in their duties.
That's not like you.
What did you say?
Forget it. What happened?
Oh, we found, or perhaps I should say I found, the body of Lavinia Lane, the missing schoolgirl.
The body?
The mutilated body. Quite an interesting experience.
What about the poor girl?
Oh, somebody fancied her, I should say.
What a terrible way of putting it.
Well, you should have seen her lying there, Angie, in the light of the sergeant's talk.
I don't want to hear.
Not a pretty sight, I can assure you. Not at all a pretty sight. Quite macabre, really. The three of us standing there in a patch of moonlight, her little dog whining, and her leg blubbing like a baby.
How would you feel if it happened to your daughter? Perhaps you wouldn't feel anything.
What do you
I mean, I don't think you love anybody, Morris, other than yourself.
Oh, the nonsense you talk. Now get out of that bed and cook me some bacon and a couple of eggs. I'm starving.
Can't you wait till breakfast time?
Angie?
Oh, very well.
Well, Doc.
You saw her, Sergeant. What more can I say, except that I've never seen anything quite so vicious before, and pray God I never see it again.
She must have lost quite a bit of blood.
Whoever butchered her like that would have been drenched, I reckon.
According to the lab report, there was no trace of blood on Ted Wilmore's clothes, or on him, for that matter.
He could have stripped first, then washed himself in the stream. His hair was wet when Mr. Layden spoke to him.
I've been swimming over at King Cuppy's.
Now, but you weren't able to corroborate that. You only had his word for it.
Could a boy like Ted have committed a murder like that? We're looking for somebody, surely, with a twisted mind.
We're looking for a psychopath, Sergeant. I'm not saying that Ted Wilmore is one, but he could be.
I wouldn't believe it of young Ted. Oh, well, now Scotland Yard's been called in, it's technically out of my hands, but I still can't forget I'm responsible for law and order around here.
You have a very frightened little community on your hands, Sergeant. Nearly everybody knew Vinnie Lane. There'll be a big crowd at her funeral.
The funeral's upset me, Morris. Just thinking of that poor child.
I wonder what he's thinking.
Who?
The tall, fair-haired boy just going into church. That's Teddy Wilmore.
They still suspect him?
He was in government wood that night.
But hours after the murder had been committed, according to medical evidence, he'd gone to look for her. Perfectly natural thing to do, especially as they used to meet down by the stream. Besides, he loved her.
Yet each man kills the thing he loves. By each, let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss. The brave man with a sword.
Things you say.
I wish I had said it. But Oscar Wilde thought of it first. Now, come on, Angie. Compose yourself. Let us pay our dignified respects to the dear departed.
I take it, Sergeant, this is not just a social call.
It's been 4 months, Doc.
And those men from the yard weren't able to find out a damn thing. As usual, the mysterious stranger gets the blame. The man no one saw arrive in the district... no one saw go.
Well, I'd sleep easier in my bed if I knew that to be true. As it is, I wake up with a nightmare, seeing the same mutilated body, but some other kid's face.
It could happen again. This lull is perfectly normal.
How long's it likely to last?
Could be as long as 18 months, until the urge to kill comes over him again. And he seizes the first opportunity.
Well, I've done everything I can. Spoken to the parents, spoken to the kids themselves, warning them to accept no lifts from strangers and not to go anywhere on their own. I've organized a lift club. I must say, Maurice Pike has been very helpful with that minibus of his, carting kids to and fro.
Planning to walk home?
No fear. I was going to wait on the corner for the Atkinses.
Well, who usually takes you home?
Well, I'm waiting for Dad. He packs up about 4:30, but he's gone out to town for a couple of days on business. And Mummy doesn't drive.
Oh. Well, if you're ever stuck, just give me a ring and either I or my husband will give you a lift.
It's very kind of you, Mrs. Pike. Oh, if you drop me off at your place, I can cut across the field. They say you're going out of your way.
Oh, well, in that case, you must come in and have a cup of tea with me. We'll walk across the field together.
You're still nervous, aren't you?
Once I give you a lift home, my dear, I undertake to see you safely home.
Thanks for tea, Mrs. Pike.
Oh, you're welcome, Linda. Well, let's go, shall we?
Yes.
Here's Morris. Hello, darling.
Hello,
Bernie. Do you know Linda Cunningham?
Only by sight. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Mr. Pike. I'm just walking across the field with her. Go in and help yourself to some tea. It's quite fresh.
Oh, I'll escort Linda home if you like.
Oh, doesn't matter. I feel like a walk. And thanks all the same. Come on, Linda.
Thanks, Pike.
Well, just a minute. Aren't you singing in the concert tonight?
Yes, I am.
Well, Angie and I have been asked to go. That is, we've been sold tickets. We can pick you up.
Of course we can, Linda. Mm. And deliver you home.
Oh,
again.
Well, that's very kind of you. But the other way, I was going to ask Mr. Atkins.
Ah, no, that's settled then. We'll pick you up at 7:30 on the dot.
That's a sweet girl, Linda. I hear she's got a lovely voice.
Mm. I don't know about her voice, but she's got very nice legs.
And a lovely trim figure. Oh, to be young again.
Oh, are you kidding?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, to be young again. At her age, you were a fat slob.
You're trying to pick a quarrel?
Oh, just telling the truth. A fat slob. I've seen the pictures. You're not much better now. Look at that dress you're wearing. I hope you're not planning to go to the concert looking like that.
What's wrong with this?
It's disgusting. That's what. The kids will laugh themselves sick. Don't you threaten me. Yes, with my open hand. Next time it will be with my fist.
Morris, what have I done? What have I done?
Ah, just keep out of my way, you stupid mole.
Hello, Dr. Francis speaking.
Doctor, it's Angela Pike here. I thought you might be at the concert.
Well, I've only just got in from a case. What can I do for you, Mrs. Pike?
I wouldn't have telephoned you at this hour, but I don't know which way to turn.
Oh, don't worry, don't worry. I'll be along in a few minutes. How are you feeling?
Oh, much better, thank you. I still feel bad about dragging
you. Oh, you don't have to. It's my job. You have a badly bruised cheek.
Oh, he hit me, you see.
Your husband?
Morris, yes. We're not married. I just live with him.
Does he often strike you?
Oh, yes. You never know quite where you are with Morris. Loving you one moment, hating you the next. It can be very cruel. But stop loving him.
Does he lie to you, Mrs. Pike?
Yes, he's a terrible liar. But he's convincing. He should be on the stage.
Fly beyond the rainbow. Why, oh, why can't I?
You were very good, Linda.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Pike. Well, even in broad daylight, I shudder every time I approach Government Wood. And at night, it's too terrifying.
Let's go in and have a look, shall we?
Mr. Pike!
Keep quiet, Michael. Or I'll give you a taste of this. Give me a kiss, Linda. That's a good girl. Is that so? No one suffers so much.
That's enough from you.
Get up, you've got a knife.
I know you don't.
You see, Angela, no one knows a man better than the woman he lives with. And from what you told me, I was able to recognize the psychopaths within him. They never learn from their mistakes, and often they'll commit the same kind of crime in the same place, heedless of their own safety. Luckily, we were in time to warn Sergeant Parker, and Warren Lane went along with him, carrying his shotgun. There was a kind of poetic justice in that, I suppose. What did he say to you before he died?
He said something about each woman killing the thing she loves. It's true. Oh, it's true.
You have been listening to Drama International. Join us again next week at the same time for more Drama International.